Please join me in the prayer of illumination before we share in the scripture. Come, Holy Spirit, open our minds to see the power of scripture to give life. Enlighten our hearts that we might see Christ in all whom we meet. In the name of the one, holy, and living God, to whom we give all glory. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. For this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body and the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you. And we are grateful for how you are at work in our lives. Father, thank you. Thank you also for how you continue to speak through this living word. And it's speaking to us. That is what's so powerful. You are speaking into each of our lives, specifically, in a way of grace. Thank you for that truth. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. You know, I'm happy that they are now televising an event, the Scripps National Spelling Bee. I think that's wonderful, because oftentimes we in our society will lift up certain things, and I think being able to spell, and I think academic achievement is something that we should certainly lift up. And how often is an academic event ever necessarily televised and a competition? You know, I think about some of the kids that have been, approaching me. Conrad and Harper actually showed me certificates the other day about GPAs close to perfect. I mean, the one was perfect. I mean, Roy was mentioning about his accomplishments. I mean, like I said, we have smart kids here and really sharp, brilliant children. And what a blessing that is to be able to be helping to nurture them, isn't it? Amen? To be able to help and surround them with love. But I want to tell you what, I don't want to have any part of a televised spelling bee anytime soon. I would hear that ding of the bell immediately. I would be out pretty soon. But I was looking over, because whenever they ding the bell, that means you misspelled the word. But I was looking over some of the words that are favorites, and I'm not going to ask any of you to spell them, okay? But some of you are really happy about that. Some of you I could see excusing yourself for trying to sneak out right now. Lock the doors, all the ushers, please. Go ahead and secure those. But these are some of the favorite words, okay? Now, you don't ever want to call anyone a Snickers knee. Snickers knee. S-N-I-C-K-E-R-S-N-E. You know why you don't want to call anybody a Snickers knee? It's a large knife. You don't want anybody to call you a large knife. You also probably don't want to accuse anybody of causing a kerfuffle. I know it sounds like I just sneezed, but I didn't. A kerfuffle. You know what a kerfuffle is? What is a kerfuffle? Sometimes it can be a big argument, a disturbance, a fuss. And there's also one last word I wanted to share with you because this probably describes ministers. Effervesce. Effervesce. You know what that means? To bubble, hiss, and foam as gas escapes. I'm so glad I didn't get any amens on that. I'm really glad. That's not the part of the sermon that I would want it in. So, you know, language that we use, how we speak to one another, and indeed, language that we use to communicate our faith is important and is essential. Today is Ascension Sunday in the church calendar. And it's one of those Sundays that can kind of come and go rather quickly. Maybe you don't even notice that it's Ascension Sunday. And yet this is critical to the life of the body of Christ, the church. And it is critical because what happened, or what we remember, and what we celebrate on Ascension Sunday, reminds us that God has the final say. And God continues to be in control. Now, in Acts, the very first chapter of Acts, Ascension Sunday is, well, it's described much more clearly. Jesus is talking to the disciples and those who are gathered around. And it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, when he had said this, as they were watching, they're all watching Jesus, they're all listening to Jesus. He was an incredible guy, wonderful teacher. And they're all watching. Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So Jesus is literally taken up into heaven. Now, how would you describe that if you had been there? What kind of words would you use to describe that? Awesome. What other words? Miraculous. You can shout it out. Feel free. Fantastic. Unbelievable. Magnificent. Amazing. You won't believe it. That's not one word, but that's a phrase. And sometimes we find ourselves communicating that in one way or another. Today in our faith, you won't believe it. There are people that are hungering, and Reverend Gordon McClellan offers us this story that points to one of the challenges for the church today. While he was a seminary student, he took an impromptu survey of five other people he was having lunch with one day to see how many believed in the resurrection. Out of the six divinity students, now these are students in seminary training for ministry, out of the six divinity students eating around that table, only three believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. the very core of who we are is that resurrection. The very foundation of us as the church is the resurrection. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, as that hymn goes, Lord, I lift your name on high. That, my friends, is the basis. And those are the words that we are called to share with one another. Not simply, well, this is too incredible to believe, but rather, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for the one who has created all things and created us. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, offers this verse. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. To live this way is to refuse to abandon hope. To live this way is to insist upon believing that which we cannot see. And to live this way is to understand that we are now at one as the body of Christ, redeemed, renewed, and forgiven. For us, you see, the words we use are important. Even when we are seeking to describe something, a way that God has worked in our lives intimately, in a way of surprise, and maybe there are things that God has done in your life, or things that God has helped you handle or get through that you don't necessarily want to share or witness to other people. That's okay. But there are always those other things that you can witness to other people. And giving a witness is simply saying, this is how God is real to me. I think we can all share something about that. It doesn't have to be anything profound. It doesn't have to be anything new. But simply share, how is God real to you? And if you're in a place right now in your life where God isn't real, or you're not experiencing that, guess what? The good news is, all you need to do is offer that prayer that we already offered, Lord, here I am. And that is an invitation. But you're not alone. We are together on this journey. And that's why these letters to the early church from Paul are so essential as well. That's why these letters to the early church, early believers, remind us that we're not alone on the journey. Certainly God is the initiating act. God is the source of grace. God is the source of forgiveness. God is the source of love. But also as the church, as we pull together and as we journey together, we're reminded of that, aren't we? Look around right now at the love and grace sitting next to you. Look around right now. Look around right now. Because this is the body of Christ. And God at work in each and every one of us, through each and every one of us. Ascension Sunday reminds us that even when God works in our lives in a way that's beyond description, we can still share some basic truths. Christ's physical body is risen to heaven. God works through Jesus. We now, as Christ is risen, we now are the body of Christ here. And God works through us. That is sometimes like speaking a word that we don't understand even to one another in the church. Because how we come together as the church can sometimes remind us more of chaos than unity. And that's an honest thing. That's an honest approach to being the church. If we are experiencing chaos in our lives, then somebody's saying to us, God loves you can be like me sharing those words from the spelling bee that you have no idea what they mean, much less how to spell them. But that doesn't make it any less true, does it? And that's why we are called to share that clarion call, our triumphal call that God has given us. God loves you through Jesus. God loves you more than you can imagine. And even if you don't understand it, even if you're not feeling it, that doesn't make it any less true. In our lives, there are so many ways that we can experience that. And sometimes there are ways that we can experience that love that don't even need any words shared at all. And at the table this morning, we have such a gathering. We are going to be gathering around this grace that has been prepared for us. We are going to be gathering because God first gathered us, and we celebrate how God first worked in our lives through these elements of communion. I invite the communion servers to come forward at this time, those who are going to be assisting to come forward to prepare for this. So even if you don't believe those words, okay? Even if you have a hard time right now where you are, understanding that God loves you, that's the most real thing you're going to experience in your life. You're going to be able to taste it, be reminded. Because when Jesus broke the bread, and when he offered his body, he reminded those who received it, and he's reminding all of us right now, that we're the body of Christ. We are called to be the body of Christ in the world. Then as he poured out the cup also, he was reminding them, simply as they were tasting of this goodness, that they are forgiven, that they are cleansed, and that the words and actions that they are to share from here on out are to point towards that forgiveness that they have received. The blood of Christ, also shed, poured out for us. We are forgiven. We are unburdened. God's grace is pouring into you. You're going to taste of that goodness in this cup. This is an open table. Know that. As you come forward, you're going to be hearing words that remind you the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Receive those words. And think about how God speaks through those words into your life today.